expectations, but at the same time, we want to work with every individual, whether it's a business community, whether it's the real estate community, whether it's the developers as well, to make sure that we're on the same page so that way we're able to provide the best product when it comes to all of our needs and making sure that we provide the educational system. I think, you know, in the coming years, you're going to see some high expectations from the board and our staff that we have currently, and as we continue to grow, making sure that we bring quality people so that way we could really make sure that kind of feels a district for the place, you know, for the place to be, and at the same time, making sure that we address all our needs together and working as one. So.
Thank you, sir.
So, let me get started. Again, thanks. This is the beginning of a partnership, I hope. But I thought that we're going to get some information from you in a few minutes, but I wanted to give you an overview of the district so that you could also know about us. Right now, our total enrollment is 6,008 students. Just a point of fact, in 1994, we had 4,151. That was 20 years ago. 10 years ago, we had 4,962. So, 6,008 was a figure from last Friday. And as of today, we're at about 6,050. So it doesn't stay in one place. Okay, but what we're saying is there was a 45% growth in 20 years. That's behind us. We're going to grow much faster in the next couple of years, just looking at the developments that we have coming. Our secondary schools. We have Canfield High School that has grades 9 through 12. There's currently 1,600 students there. Northwest Early College has 251. We are looking very much to get that up to 400. And that will help us ease the growth that we have at Canfield High School. We need to get those numbers up to Northwest. Canfield Middle School and Elementary Middle School are in 683 and 654 respectively. And what you need to know as developers and as contractors is that that's enviable for middle schools. Up the street from us at Hut Brown, we're sitting at about 1,300 to 1,400-ish. I am an ex-elementary principal and an ex-middle school principal. And I'm telling you, if any of you have middle school kids, or have survived school middle school kids, then you know that that's a pivotal age. Our board has made a conscious decision to look at the population of these schools and to keep them that we know who our kids are. And that is a significant selling point. Our elementary schools, I was at Cambridge Elementary School today. It's my pleasure to be substitute principal. I love doing that. It's because I get back to where it's important to the kids. So we have 684 kids. Well, actually, we now have 687, they told me. I was there when we were enrolling three. Damian Elementary, 659. Davenport, 423. Childress, 455. Garcia Elementary at 597. You see three schools that just have the 600 or beyond the 600 mark. That means that our school, those three schools, are sitting at about 85% capacity. My executive director of facilities starts getting a twitch when we get up to about 90, which is what the high school's at. So, Reyes Elementary is coming in at the right time. And the Reyes Elementary, the future, will be opening in 2015. I did send out some information because I know this is hard to read. That's why you do have a PowerPoint in front of you. But what I'm just going to tell tell you is that we are holding our own and showing the rest of it. Not only, we're not lagging behind in Texas, we're blazing forward in Texas. There's a new accountability system in Texas that it was the tax and now it's called the STAR. Real estate always changes. Right when we get it going, they say, oh, wait a minute, let's raise the bar a little higher. And that's what they did. So this was the first year of the new testing. And so we have, and in the packet you'll have, you'll see that we met standard and we had quite a few schools that got distinction designations. In other words, across the state they said, oh, look at this school's doing something good. Oh, look at. So one thing we're very good at in education is they keep changing the standards. They keep changing the finish line. And guess what? It takes us a year or two to get our feet back on the ground, but then we can get right back to work. So you need to know, and I'm going to be showing this, there's some of this information, we can give you more of this information. And we'll send you home with some information that you can bring with you. And if you need more, that's what we get for. Our middle schools, again, I just wanted to make sure you knew that this is an enviable position to be in. That we do look at that these schools have plenty of room for growth. The capacity at our middle schools are around the highest capacity we have is 55%. That means we have room to grow. Do I think we're going to get middle school kids? Absolutely. I'll tell you why I don't think that. But right now we have a large growth of elementary kids. And hence was why we had to change the configuration of the raised school. However, one of the great things about the Ray School is it has land. And let me tell you what that means. We can put in a full-fledged pre-K-8. We can put in a middle school. We can put in a ninth grade center. We can put in almost anything except probably not a high school. Because we have the land for the UIL, for the band. We have the land that we can have weight. We have the land. And that is just because, thank goodness, we had the foresight to get it. Okay? So the middle schools, I can't speak about middle schools enough. You know, it's a great place. Our middle schools are holding their own. They're doing very well. And what we're preparing our kids for is to be high school graduates and be prepared to enter. If you look at our high school, one of the main things I want you to look at the high school is the very last thing at the high school. It says 2012. It says RHSP. What that means is the recommended, we have the minimum recommended and distinguished plan in Texas. And what we're saying is our school board, it's the norm, the expectation, the norm is to be recommended. Not a stick, that's not something necessarily the whole state's doing. Our school board has told us they expect that. Another expectation that our school board put on us is that seniors, all seniors, will have the opportunity to take the ACT or the SAT, and that we expect all seniors to fill out a college application. We expect. That's not happening in El Paso. That's not happening in Socorro. But it's happening in Huntington, and it's been happening in Huntington for 5 years. Okay? So, but I want you to look at that. 84% of our high school, in our comprehensive high school, 84% of our kids are graduating with the recommended plan. 84%, the state average is 80. We're going against Plano. We're going against, you know, the Champaign districts, and we're beaten. Okay? Then, look at Northwest Early College. 100% of our kids at Northwest Early College are on the recommended or distinguished plan. But let me tell you another fact. Because we're not preparing those kids to go to college, because they're in college. They're in college at the age of 14. you understand why I want 400 kids there. Because as a parent, these kids are coming out of high school at 17 and 18 years old with an associate's degree. They get to go to any UT system and start as a junior. Now, don't you think that's important? I do. I think that's really important. And they are coming in, and you need to know they're being, our kids, when they get into high school, when they get into college, they're being successful. So, those are things. And you need more, I'm just giving you an overview.
Can I add a quick note on that? On the Northwest Early College High School, part of Ford's goal was that to be accomplished, and when it got accomplished about 5 years ago, right?
But
we were the 16th school district to have an early college. We were the first small school district. So.
This is nothing but a win-win. This is nothing but a win-win. In other districts, in case you think I wasn't born and raised, that's on case you didn't figure that out. I'm from a little town called Boston. And when I told my sisters about this early college, they said, well, how the heck can we get that? I said, you don't have to. And they said, oh. And you know, I have now a couple of nieces and nephews that are going to school, and my sister, who is PT, and special ed, she works special education department, and she's working for the kids in school. It's her whole salary. Her whole salary is aimed at college education. So now that's about the schools. I can give you more information, or I can give you a little bit more information. Geocode, let me just tell you what we do. All we do as a district is we're tracking. I can pinpoint every single kid in this district. I can put a red dot for every single kid, elementary kid. I can put a blue dot for every middle school kid. And I can put a green dot for every high school kid. I can tell you where the kids are. I can tell you the socioeconomic. I can tell you that, you know, that how many kids are in the household that are coming out. Okay? So I just wanted to let you know that we have been, the board has been very kind. And a couple of years ago when I asked to get this program and to do this, they said, go for it. And what's interesting here is I just want you to know is look at how evenly spread out our grade levels are. That's kind of an anomaly. The only thing you see is at 500, ninth grade, you see 500 kids. And what that means is we have more kids at high school. If you look at 469, 465, those numbers underneath it, we're getting our high school kids and we're keeping them and we're graduating them and we're graduating on time. That's something that a lot of times some people can't say. Then we have a attendance zone. I just put this in because I love numbers. And I don't know if anyone else has that same love, but I won't bore you. I just wanted to let you know what we consider KNUTO proper is our historical kind of TO. It's KNUTO Elementary School. And we have about 1,400 kids that go to different schools within that attendance zone. The attendance zones that are going to be experiencing the most growth will be Garcia and Jose Damiano. Again, for the Reyes grade reconfiguration, GeoCode showed us that we have 2,800 elementary school kids. Three of the five elementary, like I said, are already at 600. Of those two, we have one 597. I took a little bit of those developments that we know are coming at us, those are developments that we know are coming at us, and we have a lot of development coming into those areas. So, what is interesting is that we currently have 175 students that are coming to us from surrounding districts and most of them from Castle. So I wanted to debunk some of the stuff that you've heard that they're exiting and fleeing from us. We have a lot of kids, we have about 70 of those kids are going to the high school. I asked about six of them, only spoke to six, and I said, why did you come? And guess what the answer was? Size. If you want to go to Franklin, you're going to go with 3,200 kids. You want your kid in the school with 3,200. Okay, just letting you know. So, that's why, and the configuration is that we have those schools, we have, we're in a good place because of the forward vision of the board and as far as with the Reyes to making sure that, that we can build on that. I am going to turn it over to my peer, Mr. Don Rupidia, and he's going to just give you an overview of the facilities.
Thank you, Mrs. Brayden. My name is Dominic Padilla. I'm the Executive Director of Facilities and Transportation. I want to thank you all for being here with us today to learn a little bit more about how to see what you do here and what we're planning to do moving forward and how we're going to be doing that. We appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to be here. We talked about, you know, what are the common interests that we have? Why are we here? What are we talking about that, that connects us? What is it of interest to you? And what is it? How does that impact what we do? And how do we impact each other? And we come up with some ideas for planning. We both are in the business of planning, development, construction, and most importantly, the marketability of education and being able to market that in the line of work that you do in trying to push land, sell land, develop land, plan for growth. What Mrs. Brigham had showed there was the maps that are indicating the growth we're seeing today now. And we're expecting that to continue and not in, only to excel in the coming years, and we're preparing for that today. We're investing in our future. I heard someone say that earlier. And today we're investing in our future to make sure that tomorrow our students have the proper education to be able to excel in this community the day after that. We're focused on making sound business decisions. That's what we're interested in. Dr. Galvez had mentioned the book you're reading, the title of it?
Breakthrough Leadership.
Breakthrough Leadership. Having the ability to break through the ways of school districts, the ways of thinking of school districts, the ways that others view school districts, and breaking through that, and being able to make sound business decisions that are right for the children of our community, which was most important to us, and to be able to build facilities that will educate them properly. Well, we want to talk about a little bit, Ms. Brigham mentioned a little bit, the Reyes School. We've had a large bond program that's been released. We've gone to the taxpayers. It was approved with large margins. We were able to start construction and we've mobilized, and we've expensed about 50% of our bond program. We started construction on the Reyes project. Most of you know that. We've broken ground. The infrastructure is going in as we speak. The concrete and the underground utilities will start soon. We will be releasing other packages of that project as it continues. We've got a great partner, BMAC, who's doing an excellent job out there in construction, and we do still expect to be open August of 2015. That plan is still set to be open. We have had some struggles. I don't want to sugarcoat everything and tell you that it's been perfect. It's been fine. Some of you may have heard that we've had some struggles with our bond program. We've had some challenges. We've been able to overcome those challenges with what the board has helped us, being able to direct us and guide us in the right direction. And we're now on the track to deliver bond projects that were promised to the taxpayers. And the rest of the 50% is in the process of being encumbered. And we will be starting construction at the various campuses. Mrs. Brigham talked about the capacity of our current schools. We are now looking at the high school. We're reaching that 90% occupancy rate. We see the development coming, and we're starting to look to the future to understand what needs our community to lead as far as high schools, elementary schools, middle schools, and the capacities of those. Talk a little bit about the bond. 2006-2011, roughly $35 and $44 million. Again, growing forward, we did come across some challenges. We're now past those challenges, and we're looking forward to building the remaining bond programs and projects. And again, 50% of what we have promised to the voters has been delivered, and we're very proud of that. Some of the projects that are ongoing as we speak, Reyes Elementary School, as you all know, Johnson Controls, roughly $14 million to replace all the air conditioners district-wide from evaporative to refrigerated air. That work is 99% completed. Units are functioning on top of all of our schools, all of our facilities. We're very happy and proud to have had a partnership with Johnson Controls for that. Conotillo High School, the gymnasium project, that luckily, the guarantee maximum price was approved last Tuesday. That project will move forward. We are partnering with Bain's Construction for that, along with another at the middle school. We're receiving a large gymnasium and a multi-purpose building that will be utilized for the demand they have there at their campus. We've got small projects. We did a lot of upgrading to our campuses recently. We're wrapping up and almost finished with those projects. We've added wings to certain campuses. We've added just upgraded our ceilings, the flooring, aesthetic, architecture aspects within the facility. We're very proud and happy for that as well. Infrastructure, we continue to do minor and major infrastructure improvements, including the decommissioning of a wastewater treatment plant at Conotillo Middle School, and in order to bring in the utilities from what the city is now being able to deliver to us, along with the El Paso Water Utility. Future needs, you can't grow forward with building all new facilities without looking at the existing facilities that we have. We don't have the most perfect facilities currently, but we do have facilities that are currently educating our students. We can be better, we will be better, we're striving to become a lot better than what our existing facilities have, and we're making plans to improve them. And that's the future needs of our district. We have a high school, as I mentioned, we're reaching 90% capacity to high school. We're gonna need to have some more space added to that campus, or look for a new location for a campus for those students. Elementary schools, administration offices, more infrastructure, demolition and repurposing of existing facilities. We've got all of that in the plans, and we're working on that. And so we want to express to you that we're not looking at what happened yesterday, what's happening tomorrow, starting to look years in advance. What we're trying to do is really partner with you to understand what your intentions are so that we can build those partnerships to grow in the right direction and grow together. Our goals for facilities as far as we want to provide high quality educational facilities. We want to provide that for our existing facilities. We want to provide that for our future facilities. I invite you all in August of 2015 to walk into Reyes and see the type of growth that we're moving forward in. We're very proud of it. We'll be a lead project. We have a kickoff leading today. We're going in the green direction. We're excited about that as well. Sustainability, very important to us. Johnson Controls, as an example, $14 million, replaced all the HVAC units. We also now control all the HVAC units in one centralized computer. We can do it from home, I can do it from home, I can adjust the temperature. We can track it, we can see where we stand as far as electrical consumption. And the environmental quality is very important. If these lights are out and our kids can't read the books, what good is having a classroom full of kids? We're wanting to make sure that we're on top of that and we're having that educational facility that is adequate for education and excels at the expectations that parents have and the community has. With that, I want to tell you thank you, and I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Aguirre, who is our Executive Director of Finance.
I think Dominic's being a little... modest. He's done a lot in the past 2 months. 6 months?
Yes, ma'am.
6 months that he's been here. It's been a pleasure to work with him. And at our schools, I just wanted to make sure you knew the very top, that's what Canteen used to be. And the very bottom, that's our elementary, that's our schools there. So you need to know that we are looking at the future. And the one that keeps us looking at the future also, is Ms. Martha Aguirre, and she is our Executive Director of Finance.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. This evening, I'll be presenting to you a brief overview of our financial standing. And as a nonprofit organization, we rely solely on governmental agencies for our funding. And so we break it down into three general areas for you to review. Our first area is our local revenue. We rely on our property values here locally to determine what our incoming revenue will be. For the 2013 certified property values, we came in at about $1.6 billion. From those 1.6, we divided based on the $100,000 property value of each home or facility in our community, and that is how we determine what our actual district revenue is. And so for our current tax rate for maintenance and operations, it's at $1.17 and 32 cents for every dollar for debt service requirements. So it is approximately $27.5 million that we get based on local property that we have within our Canotillo community. It's important to note that our appraised values have steadily increased by about 6 to 9% every year for the last at least 9 years. The one item that is very important for us to generate more revenue is our bodies. Our student growth has not increased as fast as our properties have been increasing. And so that, you know, there's two elements to our revenue received. And so it's important to realize that although our property is increasing, until we get more bodies in our classrooms, will we see more funding. When the state sees that our local properties are increasing, the state decreases some of our funding that we receive from them. Under state revenue, of course, this is a formula that's generated through the legislature every 2 years by this our Texas government. And within that formula, they determine, I know Ms. Brigham indicated our enrollment is at 6,000. However, our revenue is based on bodies in the classroom, what we call ADA, average daily attendance. So our average daily attendance, we generated our revenue based on 5,800 students that are actually in the classroom. And so, regardless of the fact that we've got 6,000 students to ensure that are getting adequate education, we only count on funding based on 5,800 students. And it's important to know that because it is a juggling act of sorts, and when you realize, well, why are we wanting our students in the classroom? Well, one, first of all, they're not going to be successful if they're not in class learning the curriculum, and secondly, we need that revenue to provide the services that we have to provide those students. The last source of revenue is what we call federal revenues, and that's mainly our federal entitlements. And our federal entitlements are the formula used to generate that revenue is our demographic makeup of our students. When we are at over 75% economically disadvantaged in this community at this point, and with that percentage of demographics, we are able to consider ourselves a school-wide district, which means that all our campuses receive federal funding called basically the Title I Part A, and that's it to improve basic education. So as you can see, the dollar amounts of the different revenues are noted there. We also have our lunch program and our breakfast program. It's also federally funded. And again, it's also based on the fact that we have a high percentage of economically disadvantaged students that generates what we call Provision 2 status, in which all our students are able to have a free lunch on a daily basis and a free breakfast. On this slide, we will note our operating expenditures. We discussed the revenues, and now on this slide, you'll be seeing our expenditures. You can see the little pack map is a breakdown of our expenditures by percentage, and 72% of our revenue that we have is, goes to salaries, personnel costs. As business organizations, I'm sure you all have that same type of breakdown as far as where does most of your money go. It goes into personnel. This comes see our local and our state funding, we are at about 81%. However, by the time I add all the other different sources, our personnel percentage is at 72. Along with that, without having to go through the different one, we break them down by object code, which is for contracted services, supplies, other operating costs, debt service. Let's talk a little bit about debt service. Debt service is what the district goes out when we have bond elections and are successful and receive funding that Mr. Valida mentioned for building facility improvements. We have what we need to, what we call the debt service requirement. The debt service requirement is what we have to pay back on an annual basis for all the bonds that we procure. And so basically right now for per year we get paid about $6.6 million in debt service payments. Under the capital outlay, there is $1 million there, and I'd like to note a couple of the items that we have been doing. You know, we talked about improving the instructional program for our students. Within the $1 million, this current school year, we purchased a tractor that our career and technology students are now using hands-on on the field. The alfalfa, you know, working with the tractors and learning how to use them. We've got other expenditures. When I go back to the salaries, I just want to know, we have approximately 920 students, employees. Of the 920, we've got about 450 teachers. And it's important to note that as a district, we are second highest in our compensation plan. When you look at all the different school districts within our region, we are at number two. So we have to be attractive not only to our businesses, but also our educators. We want top educators. We need to have an effective compensation plan that benefits our teachers. Now, there are many factors that make or break a business. And so I want to mention that as an organization, we have a very healthy reserve fund balance. And so what I did here is I provided you a slide with our total amount of fund balance. Fund balance is $19 million. Of course, there are some areas that are restricted, so I broke them down into different categories. Non-spendable, those are inventories. Restricted, those are for contractual obligations that we have as a district. That's $2.1 million that's set aside for that. Committed is what the board every year commits to incurring through our fund balance. Things such as buildings, upgrades to certain campuses. You know, we talked about Northwest Early College. We're working towards creating a building facility that is better suited for that campus. Different initiatives, you know, from the classroom PE programs to actual equipment at different for the district. And then, of course, we have unassigned, $11.4 million. It's important to note that TEA recommends that we have at least a 60-day fund balance level. We are currently at approximately 3 months, a little over 3 months of fund balance. And so that's a very positive outlook for us when we're looking, reviewed for, say, another bond election, when they look at our credit rating, that is a very important factor to know. In addition to that, another benefit or another factor that will consider us as a good organization to work for, as well as our financial standing, is we are self-funded health care in this district. What does that mean? That means that our employees going with a standard program of health, a standard health care program, pays $35 a month. Where if you go to other school districts, let's mention El Paso ISD, they are paying large sums of money for a basic, and I think we've got some people shaking their head, nodding their head here. Our program here is it's a healthy fund balance for our health care, and it's a great benefit for our employees. And so it's important to note that the district has been very diligent in making sure that every year we save enough funds to increase our fund balance and try to compensate our employees in a reasonable rate. In fact,
it's good. Can I reiterate something when it comes to the funding formula? It's something tricky. And just talking about that, and I'll just compare it like ourselves to Sapporo. And so our property tax base is growing faster than our student population growth. Compared to Sapporo, their student population growth is growing faster than the property tax base. And so the state takes more money out of the state funds, and it doesn't supplement the same one-to-one as it does the Socorro School District. It gives them actually more because of the way the funding formula is. So we're seeing a large property tax base with all the real estate that's going on, but at the same time, we need student population growth because the state sees us as getting richer, but they don't give us one for one. So it's a complicated situation. So, you know, when you compare us to Socorro, they actually get more per student than we do because their student population growth is going faster than the property tax base.
Do you have other questions?
A question related to the student population, does charter schools have an impact on this?
No. As far as
pulling kids out of school?
We don't have, when part of our requirements through for the federal entitlement is to actually seek out any private institution or charter school that is currently educating some of our students. As we do our due diligence contacting those private entities, we have yet to find that some of our funding has to be allocated to those organizations because of the charter school or the federal entitlement requirement.
As far as state funding that comes to
as far as state, at this point, we have not seen a decrease. We're coming up on a new biennium, and we'll see how the legislature starts to address some of those issues, because I do know that they just are moving forward with more funding for some of those charter schools.
But to answer your question, when a child goes over to the charter school, it's a charter school right here in I-10.
Da Vinci.
We don't get that money.
They get
the money. They get the average thing.
The ADA follows the student.
Do we know how many kids are getting pulled out of the
They give us an impact report, and I believe it's zero in the past, but it's going to be something to look at. I know that there's been legislation pushing more towards charter schools, and so that's something that's going to be looked at, that we're going to have to be vigilant, because we've seen legislation in this past.
That's pro-charter.
Yeah, pro-charter, and one is House Bill 2976. So it's something that we're going to have to be vigilant, because it would have an impact.
We're watching that with the geocoding that I can find out, you know, I don't know, I have to look into that question. Because, yes, do we have some kids that go to charter school? Yes. But I'd have to look further into it. Okay, now, what we're going to do in a minute is we're going to go into just groups, and most of the staff, I believe we're going into groups. Okay, but I need some information from you. So at each table will be a CISD employee, a CISD board of trustee member. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask you and you're going to ask questions or additional information that you might want from us. Okay? But what we're looking at is one of this in your packet, these are the build outs that we have information on. If you notice, there's a lot of NAs up there, but that means it's not available. We don't have that information. So information that we need from developers are like, how many homes per acre are you putting in? How much square footage? What's the price range? No, that's a lot of information. What am I going to do with it? If it's a two-bedroom or three-bedroom, you make some price, I'm going to be able to tell if it's going to be probably an elementary kid coming at me, a middle school kid coming at me, or a high school kid coming at me. Or it might be an empty nester. So those are the things that you might not have said, I didn't know they needed that kind of information. So I'm going to have a spreadsheet at every table so you can see the information that we have to have. This is the information that I have right now. So when you have time to peruse it, please, if it needs to be updated, please let us know. And why we're here, too, is it takes 3 to 5 years to build a school. Okay? Effective planning requires up-to-date information, and that's the information we're trying to get. And I do think we can do it together, okay? I think if we may have this be one of our first meetings, that would be great, and we'll just continue to dialogue so that we know what's coming at us. So what I'd like to do, if you look down at your name tag, you have a colored dot. So I need my CISD people And my table captains, I need you to go to a table, to an individual table, and then everyone else. Okay, so what's a good color? Houston, Sabina, what color are you? You are emerald green. He's got emerald green. Mr. Guillermo, what color are you? Blue. Blue. So everybody here with blue dark, please go to that table. John?
Yellow.
Tony?
Red.
Brenda? Neon.
Neon.
Neon, my neon people. This will take about only 15 to 20 minutes.
I want to say hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, we finally convinced my mother-in-law to take care of her.
You're coming.
But she's got to leave Thursday night. We're trying to get her out.
I'm
So, beyond that, but
I'm talking about, what I'm talking about is the violation, which is. And most recent utilities are working on those.
You know,